Hold on to your butts.
Let's get ready to
ramble.
This is always the hardest bit, man. I need to have like a scripted opening I do every time.
Do you want to do a scripted opening on a podcast which by definition is a ramble?
I know. I know, right?
Maybe this could be our intro.
True that.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah. Hey. Welcome to a new episode of The Rambling Geek. I am Mike, and with me, as always, is Brian.
Hello.
So, few news stories we're going to cover this week, but first I wanted to just check in and see what you've been up to since we last spoke. Anything interesting?
Yeah, I mentioned a couple back, or the last one I think it might have been. I've been doing a bit more what I was calling retro gaming.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose going back to PS3 kind of counts as retro, but God of War, Arkham City, all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the week, my nephew came down with a pile of games. I think I sent you a picture.
Yeah, that's
games
right.
Him and my niece, old PS2 games, because they're sort of moving house and they wanted to clear some things out and they just wanted me to test the games on my old PlayStation 2, PS2 console. And it was real interesting. It was strange to be looking at a list of this pile of games, like original Ratchet and Clank, Simpsons Hit and Run, which
nice.
I'm completely keeping.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was an old WWE game in there, and it's a Tony Hawk Proving Ground, I think it was. And it was actually almost more exciting to be thinking about replaying those games than my old pile of PS3s or PS4s.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of a thing, and I was trying to figure out why that might be, why they were such interesting games. And even, you know, when they did, say, the Crash Bandicoot remaster a little while ago, that was really fun to play. But thinking back on it, I think I had more fun playing it first time round. And I'm not sure if it's maybe because games are a little slicker now, or it was just a bit raw before, or it was maybe a little bit more challenging because you didn't have all the slightly easier controls. You know, I'm just a little more amped to be going back and playing, you know, Simpsons Hit and Run again on PS2 and thinking, this is actually going to be kind of cool. And I hope it is. And I just was thinking about how games have changed, or maybe it's me. And I don't know. I'm not sure which one of those is true.
I think it's nostalgia. That's what gets you pumped when you get those old games suddenly. Because I'm the same. Whenever I go to a secondhand shop or something and I see the PlayStation 3 games or the Xbox 360 games,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, oh, I want to buy that. I want to buy that.
Yeah.
And they're all games I've played before or have remastered versions of or already have on another system. But I don't know. It's just... Yeah, you're right. It just gets you pumped for some reason.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it was kind of... Yeah, because games now, obviously, they look way better and there's much more that you can do and they're enormous. You know, you get massive games. It's kind of at the same time I've been playing a lot more smaller games. There's like What Remains of Edith Finch was one that I played just recently, which is kind of an odd game to describe. It's not an action game by any means. It's pretty much just telling a story. And one I played recently... which has no dialogue in it whatsoever, called The Last Day of June. And that's a heartbreaker. It's almost like a painted game. And it's the story of a guy whose wife dies in a car crash. And he ends up in a wheelchair. Sounds really bleak, I know. And then so the core of the game is he gets a chance to go back and change it. And it's real interesting. And like I said, there's no dialogue. And so the whole thing is storytelling through it's just sort of noises which aren't really dialogue. And just the actions of the game. And I'm getting into a lot more games like that. Edith Finch has dialogue, so it's kind of crucial to it. But games like Inside as well, and little things like Little Nightmares, which are really more about telling the story mm-hmm. and really building tension that way. And I feel like sometimes the games that we get now, they're a little bit, this sounds very crusty, they're a bit more intent on looking slick, and there's lots of action and a really dialogue-driven storyline. Yep. I'm really enjoying going back to games which are a little bit simpler, but they're really quite effective at the same time. I'm just wondering whether, again, to roll back to the PS2 stuff, whether the nostalgia thing is just because they weren't trying quite so hard.
Yeah, I don't know that they weren't trying hard for the time. I just think maybe we like to go back where we think the games were maybe a bit simpler. We can just invest less in them and just play them more for fun. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, Yeah, it was kind of that simpler time. Some of it, when I go back and play old games now, I feel like a better gamer because I know where stuff is and it's easier to find. And it feels like the combat's easier, and maybe it just makes me feel better. But yeah, it's just feels like a very different experience. I don't think it's bad to go backwards sometimes. I'm really kind of enjoying it.
Now, see, I get really pumped. Like, you know, recently I got gifted a Nintendo 64. And,
and I'm very jealous.
I never owned one the first time around.
Right.
Because I've always been a PlayStation person.
Yeah.
But I've loved Nintendo for the game properties they have, like Mario and things.
Sure.
And I got super psyched when I got the N64. And then I plugged it in and quickly remembered, oh, yeah, that's right. This is pre-HD and pre... Yeah. It's sort of the birth of 3D graphics, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit sketchy. And I feel like it almost deflates me a little bit because then I'm just sort of like, oh, I don't know if I can look at this for the next couple of hours. And that's really bad to say because those games are still super fun. But I think I've just got too spoiled with, like you said, the slick graphics. And I find a little bit hard to go back for that reason, but I do like to go back for certain games.
I agree that sometimes they're better in your memory.
Yeah.
You know, it may be that I'll get six levels or three levels or whatever it is and just sitting around and go, ah, no, I'm done here. Or not, you know, I'm not sure. But
although in saying that, I fire up the PS1 quite frequently and I rock a few games on that and I have fun. And it's good.
Maybe I'll see if I can scare up a copy of Crash Bandicoot, the original PlayStation 1 game, or PlayStation, as it was called at the time, and see... I'm to challenge myself and go, well, was it more fun this way, or am I going to go back to the PS4 remaster? Maybe I'll have to apologize to the gaming world.
That one might legitimately be easier because I think we've mentioned it before in our conversations that they had to rebuild that from scratch because they didn't have the original files, and so they just started again, sort of copied it. But I think it's officially been mentioned that they have made it a little bit harder than it was. I certainly found a lot of it challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Likewise. But I can't remember the PS1 version enough to know if it's actually harder or if, do you know what I mean? Like, So, I've got Crash 3, whichever one the warped one is. I think it's 3.
Yeah.
I've got that on PS1. I've played a little bit of it, but not enough to sort of judge against the PS4 version.
Against the new one, yeah.
Mm.
When I was reading things about some people, as you say, kind of officially saying that it was more difficult, I felt better because I'm starting to feel like I've become a worse gamer, going, I'm sure this was easier before. I'm sure I was better at this.
I'll tell you one game that I want to try is because I am not good at driving games, at racing games.
All right.
And when I had a PS1 the first go round, the big game was obviously Gran Turismo 2, and I had that game and I loved that game and I got okay at it, but now you come to PS4 and now PS5, I guess, and those games, because they're trying to make them more and more and more and more realistic, they're getting even harder for someone like me who's not into racing and stuff to just play for fun. Like, you have to really know how to drive, if that makes sense. And
Completely. Completely agree with you, yeah.
Yeah, so now I want to go back to PS1 and play Gran Turismo 2 because I found that was quite challenging back in the day.
Sure, yeah.
And now I want to see if it's just real simple because the graphics can't really do the stuff that we can have now. So, yeah, that'd be a good test subject, actually. So
I think that would, yeah, because now even I do get caught up in you play GT Sport and it's the weather conditions and there's rain on the track and all that kind of stuff. And it's really slick. And for that, that's sort of kind of, despite what I said before, I like the fact that it's really slick because it's much more like driving. Not that I've ever driven an Aston Martin. That's a very good idea that I haven't. But, you know, and it feels like that should be more real, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas going back and playing, as you say, Gran Turismo 2, what it was for the time, like the football games or like basketball games or whatever there would have been the same at the time. You know, limitations of the technology.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, are they easier? Are they more fun? Good test subject. Maybe good one for the Twitter questions.
Yeah, we could do that. I feel like it's funny because, you know, we say this now about the graphics on the later generation consoles, but when Gran Turismo 2 came out, I remember me and my friends were all just, wow, there's reflections on the roof and in the window. And you go and look at it now and it's trash. It's yeah. like, come on, man. But I don't know. It's like at the time we didn't have anything better and we didn't think we could get something that good. Because again, PS1 was the birth time of 3D graphics.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Gran Turismo 1 was good and then Gran Turismo 2 was like, wow. But now you'll go back and go, and just, yeah.
It's just this massive leap, and you go, I almost want to look at it like I did 20 years ago when I played this game. You know, yes. It would be nice to be able to recreate that and go, how amazing was this then?
Yeah, yeah, that's precisely it. But I don't think you can because you're automatically, your brain's going, this looks really average. And that's really bad to say because it shouldn't take away from the fun of the game, but it's hard to recapture those same feelings, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like they say, you can't go back again, but you can replay your old games.
Yeah, and that's why I hold on to old consoles. I held on to my PS3, which is not that old a console, purely because it's got Red Dead Redemption on it and because it's got a few other games that I can't get now on PS4. Lego Indiana Jones.
Oh, wow.
For one, I love that game.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get rid of it because it's really quite tricky to find over here anyway. And I think there's a lot of games on there I can show my kids and they'll be able to pick up and play as well. But in saying that, I'm really hanging out for the release of the Lego Skywalker Saga that is supposed to have come out by now. And I think is a remaster of the complete saga plus Force Awakens, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's That's all cool. of them. Yeah.
Those Lego Star Wars games are great. So much fun.
Yeah, so good. And I'd like to go back and play those. I've got the complete saga on PS3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've got Force Awakens on PS4, but it'd be nice to just play through, you know, on one disc or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do the whole thing.
One big gaming marathon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those Lego games are fantastic. In fact, the only one I don't think I liked was Lego Avengers, because I think that's one of the first ones they started putting actual dialogue from the movies.
Yeah, yeah. The Batman games were like that. Was it the third Batman game, I think?
Oh, did it?
Dialogue, and I didn't take to that one. The first one at the very least was a lot of fun to play. I really enjoyed that.
The third one was good. That was the Beyond Gotham one or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah. With the dialogue, I just couldn't get into it. It seems strange to say, but I just couldn't buy into a Lego game with dialogue. That's actually stupid.
Because I think also the thing about the Lego games was the creativity in how they portrayed things without dialogue, like the visual gags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's sort of got a little bit less when you could introduce talking. But hey, I might be in the minority there. They're still fun games anyway.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I was going to say the visual comedy in those Star Wars games. It's really clever. We were laughing a lot at that, playing through all of those. Lots of fun.
Yeah, very good.
Nice.
Cool. And anything else? Have you watched anything else? Or
I watched, probably with the rest of the world, the first two episodes of WandaVision.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to know your thoughts.
That are available here, certainly on New Zealand Netflix at this point.
Disney Plus.
Sorry, big pun. Disney Plus. Ah, what am I thinking? Edit. Yeah, and I'm baffled, and I'm enjoying it. But I can't really think of anything else to say because I'm going to be honest with you, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and you know what? I was watching it because you said to me that you may not watch it straight away because you have to be in the mood to watch whatever you're going to watch, right?
This is true, yes.
And I watched it on the first night, both episodes. And I was sitting there thinking, I really honestly can't say what Brian's going to think of this. I thought he won't hate it because it's the MCU and, you know, it's hard to hate anything that those guys are doing.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, as comic readers, we can probably have some guesses as to where it's going, right?
Yes.
For a casual viewer or someone, you know, who might have watched a few of the Marvel movies or potentially all of the Marvel movies but hasn't read comics, they're still going to be lost. I don't know, maybe anyone who's listening who is not a comic reader but has watched the majority of the MCU stuff, it'd be interesting to know what you think. So maybe I'll put up a Twitter post and you can comment. Yeah, I don't know. I think episode 2 started revealing more, and I think that's how it's going to go.
Yeah, yeah. The end of episode 2 is the real, that'll be the tease. It's that, okay, things are about to change here, and that's the exciting bit, I think, out of that.
You see, you can take it that way. The first thing I thought, okay, so hang on, let's say first, spoilers, because we're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first episode is clearly modeled off the Dick Van Dyke Show, possibly The Honeymooners. I don't know, because I'm not steeped in that one.
Some of the old school sitcoms with a laugh track.
Yeah, like the 50s ones. Mm-hmm. Then the second one is sort of moved into the 60s, and it's Bewitched very much, and I Dream of Jeannie, but very Bewitched, because the whole opening credits was a take on that.
Complete homage, yeah.
And it was brilliant. So one thing they've done is they've got it pitch perfect to what they're trying to emulate, and it's great. And then at the end of that second episode, it goes color. The first thing I thought was like, okay, that's cool, because Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie ended up going...
They went color.
Color.
Hey, that's a good pickup, yeah.
Yeah, and then the next wave of sitcoms, or the next decade of sitcoms, would have already been in color. So you've gone to color now, so the next sitcom they spoof is in color.
I figure we're going Brady Bunch or something.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Something like that, anyway, you know.
But then, yeah, I suddenly thought, oh, hang on, this is obviously also leading into revealing what is happening, right? So, I don't know. I just wanted your thoughts on it.
Yeah. A good mate of mine, before I'd watched it, he posted a comment on Facebook. And he said, and he's a big comic book fan, big geek. And he went, this is not for me. And I went, okay. And then when I watched it, I thought, yeah, I understand. And this was just sort of off the first episode for him, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, yeah, I kind of get how that would be, because it's a sitcom with small amounts of weirdness in it. You know, and then even when I was watching the second one, I thought, okay, I wonder if he went back and watched it. I think if he had, even for the second one, he's probably going to be still going, this is probably still not for me, because it is another episode of kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And you really want that hook, unless, you know, that bit at the end really grabs him and says, okay, I'm going back. And I could see a lot of people, as you say, either steeped in the comics or not, going, this wasn't what I expected.
Yeah, I've
and
seen
I'm watching it because I've got a massive amount of goodwill for Marvel, but also big fan of Wanda, big fan of The Vision.
Yeah.
Thinking, I'm really keen to see where this goes.
So I feel like, one, it was a very good choice to release more than one episode, because if you left it at that one episode, you would have probably dropped a number of the viewers.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But, and I know that Disney is not using the binge model, but this show specifically probably needed to be a season drop that we could binge right through.
Yeah, or just maybe just the one more to hook.
Yeah.
Look, I know. Maybe we'll know more. We'll get to the end of 3 and the third episode and we'll go, oh, yeah. Because I can't even... Could you give a synopsis of this now? Could you... If someone said to you, what's this about?
No.
See, yeah, well, you can't do it. There's no... You can say what happens, but you can't say what the show's about.
No. The only way you could describe it is that it's a golden age... sitcom. Like, that's really it. You could explain No, you really can't.
What? No, yeah. It's like, well, hey, you've seen Scarlet Witch and Vision from the movies, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's not
them. They're in a 50s sitcom
somehow.
And it's kind of them and it's not them. That's not a synopsis. That's just
No, that's right. And that's what lost a lot of people, I think, is that they were expecting an MCU Falcon Winter Soldier style movie TV show. Right. And it's not that, but it's never been advertised as that either.
No. I mean, and it's a bit like Legion, if you've seen any of the Legion TV series.
I haven't.
Which I liked. But that's bonkers.
Yeah.
You know, just a lot of weird stuff happens and it's all on point. But you've got to sit through a bit before some of it starts to make sense and you really get a sense of, oh, I get what's happening here.
Mm.
And that's a bit of a slog. It was kind of worth it. But, yeah, I'm not sure that they would get the same with this, with these characters. People saying, okay, I'll keep going. Not as many, maybe, anyway, as you might get out of the movies.
This came from Kevin Feige and his love of those old sitcoms when he was growing up. And he said that everything in the MCU so far has been influenced by stuff that has meant something to him. Growing up, like the types of movies and the types of shows he watched, but he never had a way to get that love of sitcoms into the MCU yet.
Okay.
And now he has.
Yeah, definitely.
Very much so.
Let's see what else he was a fan of. What are the types of sitcoms maybe?
Yeah, I think
we'll know by the end.
I think that might be just the sort of launch point, and now it's just going to go like, what were the big sitcoms? So I don't know, maybe episode, I can't remember how many there are, but maybe one of the later episodes will be Friends, because what was bigger than Friends?
Now I'm hoping they'll end up in a bar in Boston.
Ah, nice. Yes, that'd be a good one. You could have Vision walk in and everyone's like, Vision!
How's life in the fast lane, Normie?
That beats me. I can't find the on-ramp.
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, man. So anyway, we're only, as of right now when we're recording, only about 24 hours away from episode 3. So be interesting to see where it goes. And
lining up nicely for the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So I watched something unrelated. I watched a movie called Love and Monsters because a lot of people had talked about it a while ago, but I kept thinking, oh, yeah, I really need to watch that. And I feel like you should give it a go because it's easy. It's like 90 minutes or something. It's an easy watch. It's just a fun, brainless watch. And it'll be impossible not to draw comparisons to Zombieland.
All right. Intrigued.
Yeah. And this is my way of trying to convince you to watch it. Two words. Jessica Henwick.
Done.
Yeah. So she is a co-star.
Far and away the best thing part about Ibis.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's basically, I don't really want to tell you what it's about, so I won't, but just go in. It's
You've dared me, basically, haven't you?
Yeah, it's the tone of Zombieland. I don't know if you'll think it lives up to it. I actually really enjoyed it. I think it was super fun. And Dylan O'Brien, who was the star in the Maze Runner trilogy, he is the lead in this one, but he just is so good. He's like a less annoying version of Jesse Eisenberg's character in Zombieland.
Mm-hmm.
And there will definitely be comparisons to the point where there's even rules mentioned in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's how it was pitched as well when they made it. It was like Mad Max meets Zombieland.
All right.
And that's going to put you in the wrong frame of mind. But
All right. But
go and watch it. It was filmed in Australia. It didn't have a super huge budget or anything, but they've done well with the budget they've got, I think. And it's sort of like a really top grade B+, A- movie, like as in like a B movie, not as in that's what I grade it.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. And it's really good. There's a few Kiwis pop up in it because it was filmed in Australia. And one thing I thought was really funny was that I read Jessica Henwick found it quite challenging to play her character because she had to downplay her abilities because she had obviously had all this extensive training to be in all those Marvel TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to this movie, she had to appear not as competent as Colleen Wing in those shows. So she found it quite challenging because I think it was just after that or perhaps around the same time as probably Defenders or whatever the last one was that she was in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
Or season 2 of Iron Fist, either way.
Was there a season 2 of Iron Fist?
Yeah.
Really? No, was there actually?
There was, yeah.
Really? No, actually, honestly, didn't. Well, okay, I'll be honest, right? Daredevil, I watched all 3 seasons all the way through. Luke Cage, I watched 1 season, but it annoyed me when, spoilers, they get rid of Mahershala Ali, and that just annoyed me too much. Iron Fist, I watched all but the last episode of season 1. I don't know why I didn't finish it. I just didn't care anymore. And Defenders, I only watched a few episodes of. Jessica Jones, I watched all of season 1 and a little bit of season 2. So I was not very, I don't know.
Not entirely hooked.
Nah, Daredevil was really good. Jessica Jones, yeah, I like Jessica Jones season 1.
Yeah, Daredevil, Punisher.
Oh, see, and Punisher was the other one. I watched about half of season 1. I did actually really like it, but I don't know why I stopped watching it. That's not very good, geek. Man, especially being a Marvel
geek. It's okay not to watch stuff.
No, that's true.
This is from me, who occasionally, as you know, refuses to watch stuff.
Yeah, well, and this is the other thing. The other one I haven't watched, because I gave up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. way early, because rubbish.
Yeah.
But I never watched Agent Carter, and I was saying to you the other day that WandaVision really isn't the first MCU TV show, because even though you can count the Netflix ones because they're adjacent, you can't count Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Connected. Yeah.
They are, but now they've been written out. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was retconned out, as far as I read online. But Peggy Carter.
Agent Carter.
Yeah, the character.
No, I'm just going, oh, Agent Carter. I loved that series. I really did.
Seeing it spawns directly out of Captain America.
Yeah.
So that is 100% an MCU.
Completely.
TV show.
But that's one, and I think, again, as you and I debated, I found that one, I started off watching that episode by episode because it was out sort of on, what do you call it, terrestrial TV, normal TV here, if you like.
Was it?
Yeah.
Man, I missed a lot of
buried late at night because TV channels sometimes really don't know what they're doing.
Nope.
But I started watching that sort of one and two and wasn't really hooked. And then I had a few stacked up and was recording them. And then when I went back to them and started, I was watching them two or three at a time, I liked it a lot better.
Yeah.
And doing, say, two episodes, three episodes at a go, it was much more interesting to me to watch it that way. And overall, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was kind of binging for me, which I'm not really inclined to do a lot of the time.
I find a lot of TV shows work better that way. A lot of shows that I sort of start watching weekly and then I'm like, I can't be bothered watching it this week and I end up stacking up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I go back and go, man, I really like that show and can't wait for the next season, you know?
Yeah, and it really kind of hooks you at a run and you get caught up in the cliffhanger of it or whatever the end, you know, end of one episode, start of the next kind of thing.
Is Agent Carter on Disney Plus?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, maybe I need to check
it out. I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, I have it on disc because, you know, old school, but I'm pretty certain it is. I fully recommend it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Was there two seasons or one?
Two seasons. Yeah. And in different locations. So it's not just a continuation of the same thing.
Cool. All right. So I'll give that a watch. Oh, by the way, mm-hmm. I did watch something else just very quickly because you mentioned it on our last episode, Blade Runner.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So right. I went and watched it.
So we were debating which version, weren't we?
Yeah. So I watched the Blade Runner, the final cut, and I don't know what's different because I haven't seen it before. But, sure. Boy, that was I was tweeting all through it.
All right.
But on purpose about the movie. Okay. Maybe I should try and find some of my tweets because you're not on Twitter. So for anyone who follows our Twitter at The Rambling Geek, that's just me. And the comments on there are mine, not Brian's, because there's some stuff I post that he will highly disagree with. He doesn't know because he's not on Twitter, so it's all good.
So what have you like?
Yeah. So I'll see if I can find some of my tweets because that will help me remember my thoughts on the movie, if you'll bear with me. Right, let me have a look.
Because just to tap dance and fill, yeah, because we were talking about, I guess, the ridiculous number of versions of Blade Runner that there are and kind of my view that it's an excellent movie but not as good as everyone, in air quotes, makes it out to be, which I think was maybe why we were looking at – I was hoping that you would give it a look once you found a version.
Right. So what I did was I got a copy of Blade Runner and it turned out to be the final cut, whatever. And I got a copy of Blade Runner 2049 or whatever it's called.
Yes.
But I haven't watched that because I was about to, and then I saw that the runtime was like almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
Long and time. I was like, no, thanks. Because the 2 hours or whatever I watched of Blade Runner, oh, what a slog. Anyway. Here we go. Right, so this is what I tweeted. First thing I put was, fun fact, Sean Young was cast as Vicki Vale in Batman 89 before injury meant she got replaced by Kim Basinger. That's because we covered Batman on the Heritage Film Club podcast, so I just threw that out at the beginning. But then I was looking up Sean Young to say she must have been in other stuff. And I was like, wait, what? She was Lieutenant Einhorn in Ace Ventura? How did I know Batman and not that? She was the villain in Ace Ventura. Man, honestly. Right, anyway. So then the opening scroll happens, and I said, oh, that's what a Blade Runner is. I'd watch a prequel based on that opening scroll. Then I said, oh, then they have the interrogation scene with actor Brian James, who's a character actor in a lot of movies. And I went, oh, snap, it's that one dude from all those movies. And then I tweeted about the scene, is this testing if I'm a replicant or a lesbian, Mr. Deckard?
Is this testing whether I'm a replicant or a lesbian, Mr. Deckard?
And then I said, oh, come on, she was clearly a replicant. That took over 100 questions. Come on. Then James Hong, my man, because I liked when James Hong pops up in things. Then it was that cool scene with James Hong and Roy Batty when he was like, if only you could see what I've seen with your eyes. I was like, that's a pretty cool line. Then the obligatory 80s boob shot, because there were some boobs in there. And then, hey, Deckard got a bit forceful with Rachel there. But laugh out loud at the saxophone music in the background. Sebastian's toys were creepy AF. Because what was that about, man? Like
weird.
The genetic tinkering and stuff?
Much worse.
Then I said, Pris looks cool, though. That's some nice character design. So Daryl Hannah's character, especially when her eyes glow and she's, you know, put all the black stuff over her eyes. And, oh, it looks really cool. Then I said, Rutger Hauer and Daryl Hannah from this movie would have made a great Joker and Harley Quinn.
Oh.
Are you agreeing or disagreeing?
Oh, no, I like that.
Yeah, right?
I like that.
Yeah. And that's the only one of all my tweets that got a like. But, of course, Harley wasn't invented at this point.
If I was on Twitter, I'd like that too.
Nice. Then I said, whoa, bye, Alden, because, man, Betty just puts his thumbs in that dude's eyes and, dude. Then there was, like, Tears in the Rain, which I misquoted. It's like Tears in Rain.
All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears.
That was cool, but I obviously already knew that scene. And then I was done, and that was it. And I was like, okay, it's a movie I've watched now and probably won't watch again.
Does the cut that you watched, does it have the voiceover, the kind of the happy ending thing to it? I can't remember how the final cut is.
Can't even remember.
There you go.
I don't know.
Stick was in the memory.
A really boring third scene where they just chase each other over rooftops. And Deckard falls off or whatever, and Roy picks him up. Then he talks about the rain, and then...
And then he runs out of gas.
And he runs out of gas. It's like, so anticlimactic. I was like, I know you've only got however many days or months or whatever it is to live, but damn, that was, yeah, whatever.
That's a solidly lucky piece of timing, right?
Yeah, right. And I was like, okay, I'm obviously missing symbolism and stuff, but I don't care. I'm watching it as a movie, and meh. It was a movie. People are going to hate me because this movie is held in quite high regard by a lot of people, I feel, and not sure why. So, yeah, so that was a thing.
I wonder whether it's kind of, I mean, from a design point of view and all that, you know, this is what Los Angeles looks like and there's...
Dude, in 2019.
Hovering cars and stuff and all that kind
by the
of
way,
thing. It was all yeah. very, you know, yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, pretty epic looking. And even the line of, you know, is this testing whether I'm a lesbian or a replicant? That's pretty shocking for 1982.
Oh, yeah. It's also a great line because it's
great line. Yeah. Yeah, but she's a replicant.
Clearly.
You know, like, no test required.
Come on. As soon as she walks in the room, you're like, yeah, she's a robot. I was like, yeah. Dude. And she's supposed to be like the, I can't remember what they call them, but let's just say the
Nexus
6. The next one. Nexus 6. I think she's supposed to be the 7 or the
something. Yeah.
Whatever, the next one up from Roy Batty and them.
PlayStation 5.
She's not, though, because she looked more like a robot than any of the four that Deckard had to hunt down in the movie.
Mm,
yeah. And also, that was just crap, man. It was so badly, like, it was just like, you're going after them one at a time, and you get rid of them all very easily. There's just no, like, I don't know, no real suspense or no even build up like a video game where it would be, like, progressively harder. It's, I think even Rachel shoots one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah, how hard is this job?
Yeah. Well, it's not even his job. He quit. He was like, proper quit. And then he got pulled in really easily because all the chief had to say was, you're either a cop or you're everyone else or whatever it was. And I was like, that's all it took? I was like, you clearly were quite happy being anyone else.
Hey, we had a story to get on with.
We've got a podcast to get on with.
Well, so I think this is what it's like listening to me.
Oh, yeah.
I feel better about this now.
Yeah, so if you go and listen to the Heritage Film Club guys, our other podcast, it's usually, if anyone's going to be unenthusiastic about a movie, it's generally Brian. Not to say he's always unenthusiastic.
Who is more likely to be unenthusiastic?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Or even, what's the word we want? Meh. About a movie.
Yeah.
It's probably me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only you guys could have heard The Wolf of Wall Street. Oh, man, that was so gold. But
it's following me everywhere. It's following me across podcasts now.
I know. I really have to do something with it. Anyway, so I feel like I hope that you will eventually at some point, when you're in the mood, watch Love and Monsters, and you'll come back with a more positive review than I did of Blade Runner.
The first thing I'm going to do after we're done with this record is I'm going to go, it's too late to watch it, but I'm going to go and put it on my watch list.
Okay, good.
I promise.
Good, okay. So,
I would also recommend that you still watch Blade Runner 2049.
I will when I've got 2 hours and 43 minutes.
When you've got 2 hours and 43 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah. It's a thing.
Cool.
Nice.
There you go. So we've successfully linked into our last episode. We've talked about a few things.
We have.
I wanted to throughout some news stories I read this week, okay, if you'll indulge me.
Fire away.
Give me some thoughts on some of them. Some of them you won't care about. I already know that.
Yeah,
but
you know me well.
I thought they were good. Stuff I'm looking forward to. So, here's the news. Right. So, first of all, the dreaded Snyder Cut, that neither of us are very interested in watching anyway, but I thought I'd bring up, is now apparently going to be a four-hour-long movie after all.
I thought it was going to be a TV series.
It was going to be 4 one-hour episodes.
All right.
And now they're going to, Zack Snyder has basically confirmed it's just a four-hour movie. And my first thought was, well, now I'm not going to watch it. Because at least if it was one-hour episodes, there's a break where I can go, okay, that's enough for now, and I'll come back in a week. Yeah. But now it's like, no. Like, I can't even sit through the four-hour version of Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, I was no before. What's the no after no?
Hell no!
I knew you weren't going to be.
He must be really confident in how good he thinks that movie is if you reckon someone's going to sit through 4 hours.
Yeah, and someone I follow on Twitter posted something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing heavily, something like, surely in this four-hour movie there's a general sort of, okay, I'm heavily paraphrasing, like a lull or something where you could break it up. And I replied, no, it's a Zack Snyder movie.
Yeah.
Because he's not about subtlety. No. It's like, man, his only good movie, hot take, is the remake of Dawn of the Dead. And I feel like...
You were going to say that.
Yeah, and I feel like it's more because James Gunn wrote it than Zack Snyder directing it. But it's a very toned-down Zack Snyder. It's not overly CGI'd, probably because they couldn't back then. But anyway, I digress. So, that's the first story. We'll move on because neither of us really care.
Yeah.
My other one, which I'm really happy with, I don't know your thoughts, but Godzilla vs. Kong, which is a Warner Brothers movie, which means it's coming day and date, cinema and HBO Max,
All right,
has been brought forward by 2 whole months. In these times of COVID, when everything gets pushed all the way back, we're getting something brought forward.
Getting something early. That's cool.
And it's something I'm actually really looking forward to because I loved Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
Like, loved it. It was possibly my favorite movie, or definitely in the top three of whatever year that came out. The Godzilla movies, however, were trash.
Yeah.
The first one was, was Godzilla even in it? I can't remember. Probably at the end.
Such a great cast and such a waste.
I know, right? You had Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, Walter White. You're set. And you're supposed to have a big lizard. Nothing.
Eliza from The Shape of Water is in that. With dialogue. And yeah, the whole thing's just, it's such a waste of a cast, right?
Seriously. And then they made a sequel, and the sequel was just terrible.
Put it this way, I didn't even remember the sequel.
See?
I'd forgotten that there was one. All right. Okay.
Yep.
But Skull Island.
So good.
So much fun.
Yeah,
top movie. Really enjoyed that.
And I'm not a big John C. Reilly fan, but I do like him in that movie.
Yeah.
And that's why on Twitter I proudly wrote Team Kong, because I figured you'd be on my side with that anyway.
Yeah.
And then in brackets I put Donkey or King, because both Kongs are good. And all these people...
Can we have a movie of that?
Yeah, right. And I feel like if there has to be a winner, because they'll probably spin some way that it's a draw, it will be Godzilla, because it's Godzilla. But I feel like it should be Kong, because he only had one movie and it was awesome. Godzilla had 2 chances, and he blew it.
True. But who are you likely to get more movies out of? The Godzilla universe. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, because you've got all your other big animals and stuff. But
Team Kong, I'd wear the T-shirt.
Yeah, nice, good. We should make that T-shirt. All right, cool. Other news. I'm going to go into some Marvel news because I want to get your opinion on a couple of things.
All right.
So the first two are just more like quick ones. Mm-hmm. Ethan Hawke was cast as the lead villain in Disney Plus's Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Opposite Oscar Isaac. I didn't read enough Moon Knight to know or even guess who he could be playing, but I still like that casting.
Yeah, I don't know who he's likely to be either. And I always think of Ethan Hawke as being more of the evil role, so it's probably the bad way to put it. Not the good way to put it. The bad guy.
Yeah, that's good then.
I'd buy him much more in that way. I found him, you know, particularly sympathetic or whatever the word is for it. So, yeah, I'm intrigued. That sounds pretty cool. I'm looking forward to seeing Moon Knight.
So am I.
Yeah.
I love Oscar Isaac.
Hey, and why not?
Yeah, cool. And the other quick one was that Now, this is interesting. You might have a thought, but I really can't even hazard a guess on this one.
All right.
I know you don't like Thor Ragnarok very much.
Well put.
Yeah, okay, good.
Well put.
But you have seen it.
I do like some stuff, guys, I promise, really.
Yeah. But maybe there's parts of Ragnarok you like. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, that's a fair call.
Okay, good. So if you remember, in the opening on Asgard, Loki as Odin is...
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, staging a play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically the Dark World, I believe. And Loki dies, and he's played by Matt Damon.
Yep.
Matt Damon has touched down in the Gold Coast where they're filming Love and Thunder at the moment.
Yeah, I caught that. He's back.
In but the film, how?
How does this work?
Not how, because he didn't die. He's an actor.
But why? Why is a good question. Yeah.
Not that I'm against it. I love Matt Damon, dude. I love Matt Damon.
Hell yeah.
Team America. P.O. I don't care what you say. Matt Damon is awesome.
I was going with real Matt Damon in something like The Martian, but hey,
you
go where you got to go.
Dude, that movie, that movie is gold. I love that movie.
Yeah, completely.
So I'm super psyched that he's in this movie in any way at all.
I'm intrigued. I want to know how, literally, why.
Yeah, because I feel like in Ragnarok, which was filmed... Well, at least his part was filmed in the States, and he can just pop in for a day. But in this COVID world, and the fact that it's filming in Australia, and he's brought his whole family over.
That's a commitment, right?
Yeah. He's got to stay 2 weeks in quarantine. He's got his whole family with him, so he's clearly going to be here for a little while, unless he's just taking a holiday on.
Not a bit part, not a cameo, probably.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking.
I'll give you that, one of the coolest cameos in the MCU. Hey, Matt Damon.
Seriously, no one saw that coming, man.
No, not at all.
And then King of Cameos, Matt Damon, is in Deadpool 2 as well.
Yeah.
So I hope it's more than a cameo, man. He needs to be something in the MCU because I love him so much, and that's the only reason.
And so we're assuming it's him as him, you know, not sort of CGI'd into a rock monster or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Who knows?
You know, otherwise you'd record it, right? You'd voice it or something. I don't know.
I know they probably need the motion capture and all that, but I hope not. I hope it's really Matt Damon.
No, yeah, me too. I really want to see how that works out.
Yeah, so...
Weird. Such a weird one.
That spawned more conversation than I expected, but hey, cool. All right, so now...
I've got one for you, sorry, just to chuck it in there. Did you see during the week there was a... I saw a piece about someone was talking with Tim Allen, or Tim Allen was talking about potential sequel to Galaxy Quest.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, and that sort of popped up at random, and he said, and I'm... paraphrasing, obviously, something that gets talked about from time to time. And he said they did have a script for it, and he said it was centered around, unfortunately,
Alan Rickman.
It was centered around Alan Rickman, he's so good. I mean, that's definitely one of my favorite movies, Galaxy Quest. It's just a ton of fun.
It is so good.
And Rickman's great. And, you know, do you do it without him? And no, you know me, I'm kind of normally... I rail against this whole, why are you going back 20 years or whatever it is, long time, just to go back and resurrect something. I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so would I.
Another Galaxy Quest.
So the whole point of that was spoofing sort of William Shatner and the Star Trek guys.
It's Star Trek and Trek fans.
And Trek fans, yeah. And it was basically that these actors got pulled into a real scenario where they had to basically be their characters.
Yeah, because aliens have picked up the broadcasts and think it's real.
Yeah, there you go. So.
Cool idea.
You could have that, unfortunately, Alan Rickman's character died.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, how do you even do a sequel to that movie? It's like it's such a good one-and-done movie.
Yeah, and I would be completely happy, you know, let it be what it is. But if they were to make another one, damn it, I'd watch it.
Man, so would I.
I really would.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was just this random thing that popped up on a group I follow on Facebook, and I went, wow, really?
I am very intrigued.
Random.
If that's... a thing. Like, might be one of those things that gets talked about and never happens.
Maybe.
But
never happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah. Well, hey, that happened.
No, well, this is what I mean, you know, for how long, right? How long, you know, people talk about Bill and Ted 3 and Bill and Ted 3.
I assume you haven't watched it, though.
No, I've not seen it. I've not really popped up anywhere that I would see things. I don't know as yet anybody who's seen it. So.
Yes, you do. I've seen it.
You've seen it. Well, there you go.
I have.
Prove me wrong. What did you make of it?
I don't know. Like... it's better than number two.
That's not like you.
Well, number two is not my favorite anyway. I love number one.
Yeah.
Like, so much. Yeah.
Excellent!
And I liked number three. But, okay, so this is very superficial things, right? One, I know Keanu Reeves is older than he might appear, especially in John Wick movies, but he really did come across as older, and I don't know if they did that on purpose, because is Keanu Reeves that good an actor? I don't know. Like, I love him.
Oh, that's a whole thread of conversation, dude.
No, I love him, and he plays he plays perfectly.
Yeah.
But was he acting a bit older in that movie, or is that actually how he is? Because obviously in John Wick, he moves like a younger dude, right? And also, I just miss the beard now. Like, I'm so used to John Wick, and actually pretty much anything Keanu's in lately, he has his beard.
Yeah.
And
he even has the beard in Cyberpunk, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he does.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, and I just, I don't know, like, yeah, it just looked off for me. Like, that's a really superficial thing to have as a criticism of a movie.
Yeah, but...
But I liked it. It was fun. It was very much more in the vein of number one than number two, which is good. But it had nice callbacks to both.
Nice.
Okay. They brought William Sadler back.
Oh, wow.
Which was nice, yeah. And I just watched...
Colonel Stewart.
Might have been just before. Yeah, exactly. Die Hard 2. So it was... I think it's worth a look. It's definitely not as good as the original. They worked around George Carlin in a very good way.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, because obviously he was Rufus.
Yeah.
So they did a nice nod to that. So actually, tying back to Galaxy Quest, which is in the same position, there are ways you can do it.
There are ways you can do it, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you do it in a way that doesn't necessarily mean you resurrect somebody out of CGI, and it's, don't get down that road.
Yeah. So,
not full Grand Moff Tarkin type thing, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And Luke Skywalker, spoilers, in the season finale of Mandalorian. Yeah. Everyone knows that by now. If you're watching The Mandalorian, you've watched The Mandalorian. Yeah, if you're not watching it, you're clearly not going to watch it.
I don't watch it, and I already know because you told me.
But I knew you weren't going to watch it.
So. I know, so yeah, we agreed.
You're missing out on a great show, and I know I'm not going to talk you into watching it, but it is so good.
Yeah.
It is so good.
It's entertaining to watch you try.
I know, I'm just going to give up, but it's so good.
Don't flog this dead horse anymore. It's dead.
Yeah. Okay, but so...
As an aside, I'm going to throw you a really random Keanu, though.
Okay.
And I would all but guarantee you've never seen.
Okay.
There's a movie called Much Ado About Nothing.
I haven't seen.
You've not seen that. I figure not. Me, hey, I like Shakespeare.
Yep.
I'm old. But he's in that, and he's not the only person miscast in that movie. But it's interesting to watch him try.
Oh, so you're saying that's a bad Keanu?
That's a bad Keanu.
Right, okay.
And I don't think... You know, when he plays the right character, that sounds like a really arrogant thing to say. I think he's terrific. You know, speed, perfect. John Wick, who else could do it? Just don't even start. Something like that, you look at it and go, I'd even say, look, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Are you saying that's a good Keanu?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
Same thing for me as Much Ado About Nothing.
Right.
And it's a movie I'm not sure, I'm fairly certain you wouldn't like, but even if you can find the Keanu bits, just look at it and go, what did you make of that?
My friend, that is exactly what YouTube is for.
Yeah.
So I can have a look.
I will go and hunt out Love and Monsters. You go YouTubing Keanu and Shakespeare.
Right.
John, I think the character's name is. Go get him.
So in your opinion, John Wick aside, because clearly they are the best, what is your peak Keanu? Good Keanu.
Peak good Keanu. Speed.
Yeah, see? It's either Speed or Point Break.
It's Speed or Point Break. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
or Bill and Ted. Actually, the first Bill and Ted is
Bill and Ted. Okay. Yeah, fair play. Funny as hell.
Yeah.
Just ideal.
But man, isn't it so good that Catherine Bigelow came along and cast the guy from Bill and Ted? Because I can never remember which one's which. I'm pretty sure he's Ted, right? Bill Preston Esquire, Ted. No, he's Ted.
He's Ted. Yeah. Bill is Alex Winter. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
We should know this. Why don't we know this?
Anyway. It's just not in our... It's not high in our geek lexicon, I guess.
Bigger fish to fry.
So I think her taking him from that movie and turning him into Johnny Utah in Point Break was great.
It's just... Yeah.
And then we got...
How do you see it?
Then we got Speed. Speed is amazing. You can say what you want, Twitterverse and Listenerverse, but I think most will agree.
We will defy you.
Yeah, not Speed 2.
What's the phrase you like to use? Was it a hill to die on? I'd die on this hill with you for Speed.
Speed is good, man.
Hell yeah.
It's directed by Jan de Bont, who's the director of photography for Die Hard 1. I mean, come on, man. It's bona fides, as Kevin Smith would say. Dude, All right. So anyway,
you found a diehard connection. Just you give up the fight.
That was a legit diehard connection, man.
I know, but anybody who fights with you on any given diehard connection is wasting their time. Trust me, guys. Right now, I'll tell you this. Just don't even bother.
Die Hard 1 is an amazing movie and a Christmas movie. Moving on, because we've gone way off topic.
I want to see you in a movie with Jake Peralta.
Die Hard is the best cop movie of all time. One cop heroically saving the day while everyone else stands around and watches.
9-9. Anyway, back on topic. The last two Marvel things I had.
Right.
Right. So quickly. Charlie Cox is said to have not only been on set of Spider-Man 3, but to have filmed something, right? And apparently has wrapped his filming. Now, if that's true.
Yes.
How do you want to see that?
Matt Murdock.
Only, right?
It's Matt Murdock only.
Yeah, the lawyer, not the Daredevil.
Because as at the end of the last one.
Yes.
Spider-Man's in trouble.
Exactly.
Like, you know, big time adult trouble. Needs a lawyer. It's, yeah, Matt Murdock.
Okay, good. So that's, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Part one, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So this is how I think it should play out in order to introduce Daredevil into the MCU, right? This is just me talking. I want to see what you think. He should be the lawyer in Spider-Man 3. Then we're soon going to get the 30-minute legal procedural She-Hulk on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
She's a lawyer. I feel Matt Murdock should pop up in a few episodes of that.
Yes.
Right? Then the season one cliffhanger of She-Hulk. The big fish criminal should be Vincent D'Onofrio returning as Kingpin. Which automatically means we have to get Daredevil, or at least Matt Murdock, more in season two. And then possibly introducing Daredevil in season two.
Yes.
And then you can spin him off into his own thing.
Yeah. D'Onofrio Kingpin.
Yeah, well, that's because I want to. Because I want that.
Yeah.
And yeah. I feel that's a good way to bring in Wilson Fisk.
Yeah, that's how you tie it together.
And what a cliffhanger that would be.
That would be brilliant.
Dude, the last thing going like.
Somebody.
And the guy you're going up against, or the guy you've got to convict, bring him in.
Wilson Fisk.
Did you just do like a dun-dun like Law and Order? Because wasn't he in Law and Order? Oh, dude.
Was he?
I think he was.
Unconscious, subconscious.
Yeah, I'm not a CSI Law and Order.
I went for a dun-dun and missed one. But
yeah,
anyway.
It worked nicely, if I'm right. So anyway, it would be a slow burn, but man, people who love Daredevil will just be like on the edge of their seat waiting for that moment.
Well, we like a slow burn.
Well, if you watch the Netflix show, you like a slow burn, because damn. Yeah,
fully.
All right, cool, okay. Yeah. So
You don't neon sign a Wilson Fisk, you just chuck him in there and go, wow.
Dude, you don't even leak it on the internet, man.
No, true. Though, of course, anybody listening to this already knows it's happening, so.
Yeah, I'm calling it. Cool. Okay. So do you have any more thoughts on that? Or
no, I just want them to do it.
Yeah, cool. Nice. All right.
How do we make that happen?
Yeah, well, we don't know people, unfortunately, but.
So if anybody listening, if anybody has people who know people.
Yeah.
You can have that one for free. Mike won't even charge you, I swear.
Yeah. Then I'll go on Twitter when the movie comes on and goes, I didn't even get a story credit. So I'll cry about it like that. Anyway, last Marvel one. Now, this one is a pretty big one.
All right.
Chris Evans, who we know as Captain America.
Legend.
The greatest Avenger, whatever you guys say, is said to be nearing a deal.
He's baiting everybody today, aren't you?
I know, right? Hot takes. I don't know if that's really a hot take, dude. Come on, man. Spoiler for Endgame. He lifted the hammer and everyone wet their pants. Come on, he's the best Avenger, man. Come on. All right, so Chris Evans and Marvel said to be nearing a deal for Evans to return to the MCU. Now, first I thought he wants to go into directing, so maybe they're bringing him in to direct a movie.
Oh, okay, I hadn't thought of that.
Or an episode of Falcon Winter Soldier, whatever. But no, apparently the deal is for him to return, well, they say Captain America, I think Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers, yeah. All right.
Right, so much like the last topic, here's how I would want it.
All right.
No, actually, first, how would you want it? Being that you don't want to spoil or undo the ending of Endgame.
Well,
unless
he
you
went
do.
Back. He went back in time, right, for a long time.
There you go.
Lived a life.
Yep.
There's a lot of space in there.
Yeah, there is.
A lot of room in there. Plus, presumably, well, we know that, Hayley Atwell.
Oh, yeah, who you're the a big fan of.
Yeah. I'd watch that. I don't even know what it is, and I'd watch it.
So here's my ideas, right?
All right, go on then.
I think it should be either what you just said. I literally had that written down. A TV series because he's done TV recently, Defending Jacob, I think it was called.
All right.
A TV series featuring him and Peggy. They can do cool S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, like old retro S.H.I.E.L.D. Or old man Steve comes back. That's a big budget, though.
Mm-hmm.
And just have him maybe pop up in Falcon and Winter Soldier, or as young Captain America still, like normal Captain America, in Loki season 2, because I assume Loki's going to be time jumping.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So those are my thoughts of how you'd bring him in.
So you're way better at speculating about stuff than I am. I just go, they'll be back and stuff. I don't go down these storylines. I like what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think how they would do it, because I don't want him to come back as like another Captain America movie or whatever, or even as a mentor like Tony Stark was, because it undoes the perfect ending of his story.
Yeah, you shouldn't invalidate any of that. It should be...
Correct.
Whatever happens, you still get to that point.
Yeah.
Because the beauty of it is, I guess, we don't know, apart from, you know, that one scene, we don't know what happened. We don't know where he ended up. And just as you were talking about that, I had this weird True Lies, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, super spy moment. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something in that. There's a lot of time to fill in
with
both agents.
Yeah.
Yeah, both agents, you know, travel the world. Who the hell knows?
You could set that in the 70s, the 80s. You could set that wherever you want. Yeah.
Pick a decade, yeah.
You don't know how far it went, but he went all the way back.
By the time he gets back, he's, well...
Old.
That is old man Steve, yeah.
Looks like Joe Biden. Congratulations, America, by the way. Well done. Right.
Gotta get political, don't you?
Yeah, that's as political as I'll get. Okay, so one non-Marvel story I want... Now, you're going to balk at this, and so am I, but let's just take it with a grain of salt.
Relatively open, all right.
Take it with a bag of salt, right? But there are rumors, strongly rumors, that HBO Max is looking to develop a sequel series to the greatest cartoon ever made, Batman the Animated Series. Because, as we know, Batman has just jumped onto HBO Max because they decided to kill off the DC Universe app.
Yeah.
And they've got Batman and Batman Beyond over on that service.
Mm.
Now, this obviously has probably been mentioned and come up, much like your Galaxy Quest thing over time. However, this came from Mark Bernardin on Fat Man Beyond, his and Kevin Smith's podcast. And he said that he had heard this quite recently.
Right.
Kevin Smith corroborated it by saying he's heard it from people close to the franchise. He's friends with not only Batman, but the Joker as well. The two biggest people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outside of Bruce Timm, Eric Radomski, and...
The first two of the cast that you sign up. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's working with Mark Hamill on the He-Man cartoon that he's developing.
Didn't DC just kick off a comic series?
Yes.
And Batman Animated Universe kind of thing?
Correct.
Yeah, another one, because there's been one before. Great comic series, by the way.
Yes, no, but this is not any... They're not adaptations. These are new stories, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I thought. I just wondered whether there's a connection. Okay.
Yes, because Alrighty. Now, look, hey, DC's cashing back in on Batman the Animated Series.
Going back to a time when they were any good.
Yeah, and we also had a relatively recent one, it was a few years ago now, but the Batman the Animated Series crossed over with Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And that was a fun little mini-series. Mm-hmm. So Batman the Animated Series never dies.
Any rumors on who's writing it, who's running it?
No.
Ah, see, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, unless I hear it from Bruce Timm.
Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill, got to be done. Andrea retired, I think, didn't she? Did she retire?
I want to say yes, but I feel like her name popped up in something recently.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I think I don't know. Maybe that's just wishlisting, but if you're going to do it, you're going to get the band back together.
Yeah, and can I just say as a side, and you'll agree with me because we both met her, Andrea Romano is super cool.
100%.
So now, would you rather... Batman the Animated Series comeback, being that it's already the gold standard and doesn't need to be judged, or a Justice League Unlimited reunion?
Justice League.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Let Batman be. Four seasons of perfection, kicked off a whole bunch of other stuff in there, right through into Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. But yeah, if you get that band back together, I'd be all over that. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, there was a thing on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, Inside of You.
Yeah.
Highly recommended.
Very.
Where he did a kind of a reunion podcast. You know, there was Susan Eisenberg was on there. and George Newbern and Carl Lumbly and just stacks of people, and of course himself because he was Flash. And the idea that, you know, Susan Eisenberg a couple of times has tried to kick that off and get a bit of a groundswell on that, I'd support that completely.
Especially with Susan Eisenberg coming back as Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Just,
yeah, buddy.
Just perfect. Yeah.
Nice.
How do we make that happen?
Well,
we need a kingpin. We need the cartoon. We need more influence. How do we get that?
Well, for the cartoon one, better people than us have tried, and it's still not happened.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But maybe with HBO Max now a thing.
Hey, yeah.
Could be closer. And
yeah. Could get Paul Dini in there.
Yeah, man.
Stan Berkowitz. I mean, yeah.
And just pay Bruce Timm all the monies that he needs to come just back.
Do whatever he wants.
Yep. Okay. Well, we're on agreement on that, so that's good. Okay, well, that was a good ramble. We had some nice discussion there, so that's cool. Anything else you want to mention while we're here before we go?
Rambled out.
Nice. All right, well, thanks for tuning in again. Until next time, I am Mike, and he is Brian. He's silent. He's silent Brian. He's the Bob to my Jay.
Mike and silent Brian. Wow, that'd make money.
Oh, man, clearly, because this one is. Okay. Right. In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at TRG Podcast, or on Facebook, just type in The Rambling Geek. It'll come up. Hop over to Twitter. I'm much more active on Twitter at The Rambling Geek. You get more of my hot takes and you can argue with me, unlike now where you're just yelling at the radio or whatever you're listening on. And those are all our plugs, I think. I do want to shout out From the Middle Podcast. They gave us a nice shout-out on their latest episode, Returning the Favor. They're a comedy culture podcast from some guys in Ohio. They're awesome. They have a wide variety of subjects that they like to talk about, including some geek stuff. And they're just great to listen to. Great chemistry. Great chats. They make everything entertaining. From the Middle, go and look it up. Rate, review, like, subscribe. Do all that cool stuff. Do that to our podcast, too. And until next time, we are out.
Loved what you've heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you.
That's the end. Thanks for listening.